How good's rugby league? So much can change in a week, Steve.
Yeah, it can, mate. We have a chat about the Dragons sacking Flanagan in an absolute amateur hour press conference. We've had two teams rocket into Jacob Gagan's power rankings for the week, and we discuss all the Anzac Day clashes coming up this weekend.
Which will be unbelievable. Another glut of injuries. The Storm lose 5 in a row, and the mighty Eels storm back with a great win at CommBank on Sunday. I'm Ian Hawkins, and this is Sport is Life. The purpose of sport, as I see it, is to see your vision become a reality. Find your voice, create strong connections, and learn to trust your body. Week is a long time in rugby league, Steve.
Yeah, it certainly is, Hawk. There's been plenty going on, mate, both on and off the field, especially after today's press conference. How did you enjoy the weekend?
Mate, it's fantastic. I didn't get enough of my footy fix, but I was out there on Sunday. It was one of those games after last week's debacle against the Titans where you contemplate giving your passes away to a Bulldogs fan who might get more joy out of it, but there's just that glimmer of hope that keeps you going back, and we were certainly very glad we did. It was a great afternoon.
Yeah, mate, against the local rivals, to get one on Sunday afternoon would have been a good time for you, mate. I saw some photos. Certainly looked like you enjoyed yourself.
It was good, mate. Yeah, the power of faithful lad were actually up and about, and they're all fired up for the first bit, and then the moment it went quiet, there was this deafening Bulldogs chant that went round, and I just had this thought of, oh shit, this could get a bit ugly if they start getting on a roll. So thankfully that did not happen. It's probably a credit to not just to the team, but the fans who still showed up, because there was a heap of them out there, and I'm sure plenty would have been tempted to stay away.
Yeah, good on them. Well deserved for the fans that hung in there, mate.
That's it, mate. Dragons.
Wow, what a day! What a day. I've been, looking at all the articles and poring over press conferences. Look, ultimately, as much as I'd been a fan of Flano, unfortunately, it just got to the stage where it had to happen. I think it had to happen for him as well. You saw how he'd been on the sidelines these last couple of weeks and in press conferences. He's just a shadow of a man. Yeah, exactly right. And anyone who can question his commitment or how much he bleeds for his players and the club just needs to have lived those last few weeks with him. So it was sad for him. And hopefully he gets a bit of downtime. Whether he comes again in the NRL or heads off overseas, yet to be seen. But, yeah, hopefully for his sake he can get away from the game for a little while and put a smile back on his face. But got a sneaking suspicion this might linger for a little while for poor old Flano. But as far as the Dragons go, that was just a comedy of errors this morning on the press conference. Anyone who's listened to it, Lancaster come out and held the press conference, has only got to watch it for a couple of minutes to see that this is not just getting a new coach and this will fix the problem. We've got huge issues across the whole club. So they sacked the general manager as well. Like, who hadn't been in the role for too long. But for someone who is owned by a media company, for them to have sat in front of the media like they did and deliver such a poor message. For mine, it was unthought. They didn't think it through. They haven't got a plan moving forward. All they wanted to do was just put the fire out for the time being and move Flano on. So if they don't have a really big change with a number of people, they don't stop the infighting between Illawarra, who is owned and backed by the Wind Corporation and the Dragons Leagues Club, then this is just going to be Groundhog Day. I didn't really realise how bad the problem was until hearing that press conference, mate. It was amateur hour.
And you kind of got that sense, like, as you know, you can blame the coach and ultimately the buck stops with him to a certain degree, but it's the known fact that in rugby league, if the back office is not operating at an elite level, then the team has no chance of doing so. Reality is he's got a poor list, and they're just missing key players at important positions. And yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'd go as far as to say as I hope he gets another gig, because I don't have any emotional attachment to him, but he'd be pretty unlucky if he doesn't, given the circumstances he went into. But yeah, I'm with you, mate. I even saw something that Paul Kent talked about. He said what he was hearing is that Isaac Moses manages Dream Buller as well. And he said basically Buller wouldn't be going there unless Flanagan stayed the coach, almost like had him over a barrel sort of thing. So I think good on him for still having the balls to say, well, no player's more important than the club, and actually moving him on. I'm with you. They should have had a plan and they should have been thinking about it for a while. But I also look at what Parra did, which is they got rid of Brad Arthur because it was just necessary, because it was having a more of a negative effect, and even Arthur's admitted that. In hindsight, down the track. But it allowed them time to then pick the right person. And I think that does that now. It allows whoever they get next year to have not just a full pre-season, but to start planning a roster before November 1 and actually get some time to put some serious thought in it, because that's what it needs. It's going to take time from here anyway. There's no point in rushing, but you're not wrong in it looking like amateur hour when they have to cancel training because they can't agree terms with an interim coach. Yeah. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. No, the word is that there's, for obvious reasons, with his old man, but there was push for Dean Young from the St. George side. The Illawarra side aren't keen. Believe it or not, they're saying that he went for a job interview for a previous role and attended the job interview in Apollo, and that's the reason they've given for them not wanting to give him a crack at the interim job, which to me is laughable. I understand they may have wanted a suit and tie. I get that. But for that to be the reason, if that's the truth, and I'm sure more will come out over the next few days, but for you to sack someone and not have a replacement at this level, we're not talking about the local pub side who's going to run out on the weekend with 13 players they can just scrape together from the front bar. This is the NRL, right? This is the elite of the elite for rugby league. And for this to happen, it's just embarrassing. It's another example, mate. This doesn't happen at the Storm. It doesn't happen at Penrith. It doesn't happen at the Broncos. The list goes on. You know, you talk about Isaac Moses. Well, if that's the case, well done for St. George from stopping it. But it's like a moth to a flame with these player agents. As soon as they smell a little bit of weakness in the front office, they have a dip. And again, it wouldn't happen in those bigger clubs, but for Moses to be able to think he can dictate, it's because he knows he smells blood in the water. When you walk into the St. George Leagues Club, you know that they just aren't up to the level that's needed at the moment. So for such a proud club, and then even to have Illawarra involved for such a long time, they've got a proud history themselves. To see it go the way it has, and to still see the bickering and the infighting at board level, and then to see the results out in the field, it's disappointed a hell of a lot of fans, mate. So hopefully they can do a complete clean out. I'd like to see all of them go at the moment, the way they're performing, not only on the field, but from an administration perspective. But time will tell. Let's see who's going to start making some decisions and planning the move forward, mate.
Absolutely. There's a couple of young Dragons content creators, and they teamed up to do a video end of last week. I don't know if you saw that one, the Save Our Saints campaign. And yeah. They were saying it's time to get rid of this. You know, there's three different businesses basically involved in the joint venture. It's time just to come under one umbrella. And to me, that's just a no-brainer. Like, have any of the joint ventures had sustained success?
No. Well, we were only laughing at the Tigers pre-season. And the only reason we've stopped laughing is because they're winning games, right? So the bottom line is the Tigers, the West Tigers boardroom would still be in absolute disarray like they were pre-season. It's just the media is not covering it because they're winning games. So the bottom line is the two young fellas are very passionate when they were delivering their message, which I love, like all Dragons fans. But you know, you can't knock them. You've just had an absolute gutful of all the infighting. They're just worried about getting their cushy seen on game day and saying they're on the board for the Dragons as opposed to trying to push in the right direction. So hopefully, look, truth be told, I think the NRL needs to step in, get involved and start to, you know, really come over the top of them. I think the NRL have been guilty of letting a few clubs slide in the front office. And St George Illawarra Dragons is certainly one of them, mate, unfortunately. So let's hope they do, because they're going to get fallen. They're going to fall behind and get further and further away from the pack unless they do something pretty quick.
Yeah, but I think change, and it sounds like it's going to be fairly significant change, always brings new hope and green shoots. And I think that's the thing, is that if you look back with a little bit of hindsight, even just a few weeks, you struggle to see where they were heading. There wasn't good young forward pack, but there wasn't a lot happening in terms of getting halves in there that were going to be successful. You're still missing a fullback with speed, because let's face it, Gutho's getting older and slower by the day. But yep. this, you know, you've seen what Hannay's done with the Titans, Webster at the Warriors. Like, it's probably time for a young guy, and it'd be interesting to see which direction they go when it comes to the crunch.
Yeah, spot on, mate. I couldn't agree with you more. I think there'll be, you know, we spoke about it already, about a clean out for the Dragons. I think there'll be a few player managers starting to ring the front office. I think they'll be getting rid of a lot over the space in the next 6 to 12 months. The test will be whoever the GM is and the coach will be how good they are at it. You know, you've seen Gus turn over the Bulldogs roster within 12 months, where other clubs that aren't at that level, you know, take 18 months to 2 years, 3 years. So it'll be interesting to see how they go about it, who they get in. I really want to see an experienced GM go in there, because to your point, unless they're looking at a Brad Arthur, or potentially a Jason Demetrio, they're going to get a young coach. They're going to get a rookie, you know, whether it's an Ennis, Young, Hornby, Matt Ballon's name's been thrown up. You'd think that more than likely they're going to get a rookie. So a really experienced, hard-nosed GM who can handle the player managers, who can start to interact with the media. Right? The Dragons do not have a good relationship with the media. And through that, they cop a little bit of a pasting, right? There's plenty of attention on them. So the only way you're going to turn that around is start building a relationship with the media. So, yeah, hopefully they get a really experienced GM. I think that'd be, for mine, that'd be more important. And then working with the new coach to try and get this roster turned around as quick as possible.
Yep, well said. Well, fingers crossed for you, mate, that can get sorted quickly and you can get a bit of a spring in your step. Your old man's certainly put on a brave face, given he even gave me some kudos for the game yesterday. So he's a good man. You mentioned this last week, but it's becoming more and more obvious. The middle dominance is key. Ruck speed, you've still got a complete high, but that's not as important of getting those other two things right. And we saw it over the weekend big time. And if we look at that first game, the contrast from where the Cowboys were at, we were singing their praises. I also questioned whether I thought Manly were actually back or not. Well, I've certainly copped a hammering on the socials from a few Manly fans that just reminded me how well that one aged. But
The Manly fans haven't missed you, and I love it. So if you're out there, keep sending them in and giving it to Hawk about Manly, will you please? Yeah, look, they were excellent, mate. You talk about dominance and ruck speed. There's a few games throughout the week that really went in flows. You know, one team got the momentum, they had the ball, and it felt like, you know, it was 10, 12, 15 minutes where they virtually had all the ball and they're just racking up points. And then that one thing kicked and the other team started to get momentum. They started scoring points. You know, we saw a lot of changes. You know, the Roosters game is an example. To a certain degree, the Bulldogs game where, you know, that team losing at half time's come back and just scored a lot of points. The Titans did the same against the Warriors. So you basically can't clock off, especially in defence. And Manly did well. You know, they held on to the ball. Turbo went down, and you know, traditional Manly over the last couple of years would have thrown it in, but they didn't. They stuck at it and really controlled well. You know, kicked kicked well as well, just to really continue to keep that momentum. So everything is going to be that ruck speed and keeping momentum. If you can control the ball, the referees are just giving you that leg up down the field. You hold the ball, you score points. It's as simple as that, no matter how many teams you've got. You know, you talk about that ruck speed. The statistics and data coming out of the NRL at the moment is the Storm's the worst at it. So if you think back a few years, the Storm were the best at the wrestle. Well, they haven't come through and adapted to the new way, and they're just getting slowed down, and they're not getting those quick play the balls themselves. So I know we've jumped ahead to a few different games there, but certainly Manly were really impressive. The Cowboys had just been on their run, I think, and have just had an off week. So, you know, they'll need to get back on the trot again. But look, Manly did really well.
Yeah, you mentioned Manly fans giving it to me. Where the Eels travel to Brookvale on Sunday, I think I'm going to head down and face them directly. So that will be interesting. But yeah, they certainly are doing the small things right, which when it comes down to it, you're just going to run harder, tackle harder, and have more intent and aggression. And they're certainly doing that. The Cowboys, there was a couple of things of note. Drink water, all that talk of potentially moving elsewhere, Dragons, the Tigers had a bit of a sniff, there's a couple of other teams floating around. You've got to think that's had an impact because he was flying until then. And then the Cowboys, what they seem to always do is they seem to have good go forward, but then they start trying to go too lateral and shift side to side and they lose that direct play that when Dearden's hitting the line and when those other guys are actually hitting holes, whereas it was just kind of side to side and it's got eaten up.
Yeah. Mate, you hit the nail on the head. That's Dearden's responsibility, right? Everything he does is effort based. It's his job to keep him straight. So I'm sure that they'll spend plenty of time working on that and making sure everything comes off Dearden straight. Yeah, Drinky just had an off night. So whether it is, you know, the realization that the Cowboys don't want him or, you know, can't find the money for him with Purdue taking that big upgrade and played on it, we'll see in the next couple of weeks. I wouldn't want to be signing with the Dragons anytime soon with all the uncertainty. So that might drag on a little bit for him. But, yeah, look, hopefully for the Cows, Dearden can straighten them out a little bit over the next couple of weeks. Turbo being out, they're saying 6 to 8 weeks at the moment, so that's going to leave a huge hole on in Manly, just having him out in the field. Obviously, they've got a couple of ready replacements that are good enough to play fullback in the NRL, but obviously Turbo's Turbo. So hopefully for his sake, he can get back on the field. It was a pretty sad sight to see once again. But yeah, good result for them. Three in a row with a new coach. I believe it's the first time ever that a new coach has come in halfway through the season and won his first three. So pretty good one. And obviously, now you'll be hoping otherwise, but obviously a possible win again against Para. You can see that going either way. So good signs for Manly.
Yeah, absolutely. I really enjoyed Foran's analysis on the TV. He just talked about the game in really simple terms, but he saw things that some of those other pundits don't, and they're often talking in cliches and the same old rubbish. So I will miss that, but clearly that does translate into being a good coach. Although time will tell, because we know some young guys have come in and had an initial spike. Brad Fittler comes to mind, and yes, then the day to day stress of being a full time coach can certainly come in when you've got to do the whole preseason and everything else, and start losing a few games, which inevitably will happen. It's Raiders Storm. Well, we talked about it in the preseason. We just said Storm will just find a way. They turned over more. They seem to be short, but they'll just find players to step in. But as you said before, they just haven't adapted to how the game's being played. Interestingly, Ricky Stewart after the game was talking about it, even as a winner, just saying how it was refereed differently. And he said, if that's how it is, that's fine. But, you know, I tend to agree with what he had to say in terms of it. Just like it's a confusing state at the moment. The game yesterday at the stadium, there was one six again in the first half and maybe one or two in the second. So it was very much refereed differently. I liked it. Yeah, it's really interesting that it's, mate,
Yep.
It's confusing. But let's come back to the Storm. Yeah. They are in trouble.
Yeah, they are, mate. You look back, not only they lost their five in a row, but they've beaten St. George and Para. Now, we all know St. George haven't come close. And with respects to Para, they've been hot and cold, right? One week they're coming out and play well, the next minute they have an off week. So while they've played some decent teams, obviously, Canberra, Warriors, Penrith in the mix, and including the Broncos. So they have had a tough run. There's no doubt about that. But unlike Storm to win that many lose that many consistently, and then to your point, the way they've lost it, they've just been caught on the hop and they haven't been able to adapt to the new game. So, you know, look, yeah, 100%. There are inconsistencies within games, let alone from week to week, with the refereeing, and it needs to get better real quick. I think it's a bit of a blight at the moment, but there's been that much going on in the media that they haven't really spoken about it. But certainly for the Storm, they need to find a way to get quicker through the ruck, quicker play the balls, and then hold the ball more. Because right now their positive go to is those running backs, so the two halves and Faolongo out at fullback. They're just not having the ball long enough, and they're not getting the territory, and the play the balls are too slow. So if they don't, the season's slipping away from them legitimately. The season's slipping away from them quickly, because you know if you're not in the top four, it's just about all over for a grand final slot or a win one. So if they don't get a roll on and win two or three, especially with Origin coming up, it'll obviously be another tough time for them. They're in a bit of a pickle. But look, good on the Raiders. Yeah. The Raiders have now had two really solid wins in a row, albeit tight ones. But you can see just the wheels are turning for the Raiders. I thought they were a lot better. We called for their middles to stand up and show a bit more aggression a couple of weeks back, and they've done that. So to knock over South and then the Storm 2 weeks in a row will please Ricky no end.
Yeah, absolutely. Big Red fired up, no end.
Well, you talk about momentum. They were all over them in the first 15, 20 minutes. He gave away a penalty for dissent, like just absolute moron football. And then the Storm come back and went bang, bang, and all of a sudden now we've gone from Canberra having a nice, kick to the corners, chase sort of game, to now we're neck and neck with the Storm again. So there's no doubt, I'm sure Ricky's had a absolute ear bashing of Big Red.
Yeah, no doubt at all. That's what got him to the point of leaving the club not so long ago. Just back on the Storm, interestingly, I read the other day, Faolongo's got the slowest play the ball in the league by a significant margin. He's like had 48 of the slowest play the balls. And the other thing I noticed is that they panic. That composure that they used to have in the red zone, like, it's just not there. They are having a pretty decent spread of time in opposition red zones, and they just cannot convert. It reminds me of Penrith last year when I wrote them off wrongly, because I remember watching a game, it might have been the Manly game, where they just looked like strangers playing together, and the attack was awful. They weren't defending well. That's like that's the part of the Storm that I can't get my head around. They've got some of the best, well, if not best spine members in the league, and they're panicking. They're pushing passes. Yeah. It's going horribly wrong. I don't hate it, I've got to be honest.
Now, it is a little bit refreshing as a supporter to see the difference in the slide. But look, they relied so heavily on their edge forwards, and obviously through different reasons they've lost two or three of them. They really straightened them up, really got that momentum, and then they played off the back of them in the back end of each set with the fullback and halves. So not having those players, I think, has really affected them more than they probably realised. They had control over some of them they released, and then others obviously with injuries, but they need to find something pretty quick. Hard run aside with some injuries, I think their draw softens up a little bit at the moment, but if they don't get a few just for simple math, they're just not going to have enough points at the end of the season.
What's soft in the draw anymore? Like, it's not like you can look at St. the draw George. And go, oh, there's... But new coach, there's always a bounce there. But otherwise, you look at the draw, and there's no longer those gimmies that you would have thought before. I mean, I'm sure the Dogs fans would have been thinking that Sunday was a gimme. I certainly was. I still was a bit surreal last night getting home and, just thinking how that unfolded. So, yes, maybe it's a draw of traditionally in the last few years softer teams, but I just don't think you can look at it like that.
We'll wait and see, mate.
Yeah. Panthers, Dolphins, this, like, talking about momentum and controlling the ruck speed and getting on a roll, this game was the classic example of that. The Panthers for the first half just looked in total control, just doing what the Panthers do. But then the Dolphins had like a, would have only been 15, 20 minute block there where suddenly they just looked untouchable. They got in a roll there, electric outside backs start doing good things. Herbie Farnworth, oh, mate, what a player.
Yeah, mate, you've got it on my notes. If it wasn't for Herbie, it would have been 40-0 at half time and the game would have been over. Every time he come, even in defence, he took a couple of those one-on-one steals. He was unbelievable in attack. He's just a phenomenal footballer. He's the best centre in the game for mine, and he's starting to put a little bit of a distance between him and the field. He is just quality. I know Latrell had a massive game, but Herbie just does it week in, week out, and the work rate he gets through is just out of this world. So if it wasn't for him, they wouldn't have got anywhere near Penrith, let alone take him to Golden Point. But, you know, we talked about those swings at the start. Penrith were really, really impressive in that first half. That second half, it just swung the other way. Obviously, Mitch Kenny going down is a big thing for Penrith. I think that's going to really change things up for them. Not only what he gives them, but also even just the bench rotation, I think all really have an impact on them. But hats off to Dolphins for hanging in there. You know, traditionally, they've got the points in them, but they haven't really played dirty. They haven't really hung in and grinded it out. But in that heat up there in Darwin, for them to turn that around and hang in for as long as what they did and push, you know, what we were all saying is the best team in the comp. A few weeks ago, we were saying the best team ever, was really impressive for them. So they've still got plenty of wins left in them, mate, this season, the Dolphins. They're still heading all the way to the semis for mine. As long as they stay fit, they're still got a bloody good football team on their hands.
Absolutely, improving every week, and if last year's any judge, they'll continue to get better and better as long as they stay fit. We might come back to injuries because it seems to be a real epidemic at the moment. But just lastly, on the Dolphins, they had the bye, and they obviously got to be better equipped where they train to deal with that Darwin heat. And I think that probably did contribute to it. That would have been a big adjustment for the Panthers, and they did seem like they were running out of legs, but as they always seem to do, they just find a way, and they've got that composure when it counts in at the end of the game in Golden Point.
Yeah, spot on, mate. As we said, we knew that Panthers' draw was really tough coming in. I think they just absolutely front load and had everything ready to go for round one. You might see the Panthers not necessarily come off. We've probably seen it, obviously, the last 2 weeks with results, but I think they'll just flatten out a little bit now. I think they've done the damage to get to where they've gotten to. They didn't fall into last year's trap. You know, won those games early, so they're up the top of the ladder. So I think they'll just get through the Origin period. They're not going to fall off a cliff, but you'll just see them just flatten out, I think, a little bit, and then they'll be prime, ready to go for the back end is my gut feel, mate.
Yeah, I'm with you. Now, this game I didn't see a great deal of. It looked like the Warriors went out to quite a substantial lead. It looked like they were well under control, and then maybe they took their foot off the pedal for the end and it evened up. Titans, obviously, I've got a bit more about them this year, but I don't know if you can offer more on this one, but yeah, I can't give you much more than that today.
No, look, you've summed it up. It's, you know, that's not a, there's not a lot to go into. I think the Warriors are very similar to the Penrith Dolphin game. The Warriors come out, really performed strongly early. They had the momentum. They had the run of play really strong through the middle. And the Titans just hung in there. You know, we spoke at the start of the year that they wanted to really work on how they grinded out football games. Well, they just hung tight, and then they started getting the swings and the momentum, and that worked for them. So similar story to Penrith, mate. I think the Titans, they're a bit off where the Dolphins are. They're probably 12 to 18 months behind where the Dolphins are, but they're certainly heading the right direction. A few of those young forwards that they've got that have come along nicely for them. But, yeah, the Warriors are a serious team, mate. I think it was one of those cases the Warriors didn't enough to win, and they're just ready to move on to next week.
Yep. Now, ironically, the Dragons did show up in this game before sacking their coach.
Some of them showed up, mate. I was really disappointed in Valentine Holmes. My reality is he's an international. He's played a lot of State of Origin football. Even Latrell playing the way he did, he should never have given him a bath like that. Like, it was got to the stage where it was embarrassing to have, you know, 10 odd missed tackles in a game of footy at his level. Is not acceptable, is the bottom line. So look, certainly there were players out there that absolutely busted a gut. Couchman comes to mind especially, but yeah, there were just far too many players that just weren't at the level, and Val was leading contender of that. For what he's getting paid, and for his background, he should have been a hell of a lot better than what he was.
He's got to be injured. He can't be someone who's performed at that level and just be so ineffective. I mean, the thing the example that I use as one from the last couple of weeks, Junior Bolo apparently has a PCL problem which he aggravated in the Tigers game, so he didn't have much power off that leg, so it just gets better with a bit of time, and we saw that yesterday just how enormous he was at both ends of the park. So you've got to think he's injured, because surely a player, as you said, he's been to the NFL, he's performed at the elite level, to be going that bad, it just doesn't make any other sense otherwise.
No, agreed, mate. Yeah, he needs to have a bit of a look at himself, mate. So, look, that being said, you talk about Latrell and South. That South team, obviously, Cheese, Brendan Smith's been back now for the second week. They just look like they're rolling just that little bit better. They look like they're a little bit fresher, and they're just starting to hit their groove. So they were really good. And then Latrell had one of those games where wouldn't have mattered who it was. He was just unstoppable. So, look, hats off to them. They're putting themselves in a good spot. They've won quite a few now. But, yeah, the Dragons are a long way off, as we said, mate.
Absolutely. Now, just on injuries Origin, like with Latrell, we talked about centres before. Case McLean, we were rapping, and maybe a blue jersey for him. He's injured. Turbo's out. Latrell looks obviously amazing with the ball. He's still not fit enough for mine, which is why Dufty went in there and terrorised the Dragons who got rid of him, which was always going to happen. Yep. You knew that. But just talking about injuries, we got Payne Haas now. They're talking 6 to 8 weeks for him. Katoni Staggs. Actually, the Bronx have got a few more on the injury list. There seems to be a lot of clubs who are just ravaged with injury. Is it just one of those things, or do you think the speed of the game is actually having an impact?
I think the speed of the game on the back of fatigue is having the impact. I think, you know, you're starting to see some of those injuries come at the back end of games or second half of games. So, yeah, you just mentioned a few there. Marzu's a HIA, which doesn't count, but there's a number of there. For mine, Latrell at this stage will get picked because we're down so many others. You know, whether obviously Stagg, McLean and Turbo would have been leading candidates as well. So to have them three down is a big deal.
Bradman Best picked up an injury.
Bradman Best, 100%, he's another one, right? And Crichton, currently, he's out as well. So Latrell's, you know, regardless of performance, Latrell's probably last man up, so he's going to have to play. But yeah, look, I think there's more of these to come. You know, I keep a close eye on injuries because of Supercoach purposes, and it's already starting to become a bit of a bloodbath, old Supercoach. People are burning through trades, but just because the guns are getting injured. You know, Karaz is another one, similar injury to Haas. So obviously not a centre for this conversation, but another injury that's going to be 4 to 6 weeks. So I think you're going to continue to see them, Hawk, and that'll open up the back end of the year where we're going to get a lot more rookies come into the NRL. Some of them will be up to it, some of them won't be, and that could have an impact on some of teams, you know, end result. So it'll be interesting to see. There'll be a lot of strength and conditioning coaches around the NRL poring over statistics and looking at data as quick as they can to try and identify what's going on and put it in place. But this could even have an impact on the training load throughout the season where, you know, we've got to keep them a little bit fresher for game day potentially. So there'll be a lot of unanswered questions over the next sort of month, maybe 2 months, especially as they start backing up over Origin some of those players as well.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of the injuries have been accidents, but yeah, you imagine some of those, particularly the hip drop ones, would have been a result of defenders under fatigue and just trying everything they can to get people down. Kiraz is another one that would have been in line for a blue jersey on the wing or in the mix anyway. So yeah, more of our depth being tested. Broncos, yep. Tigers, fuck me. I looked at that and went, the Broncos have never lost at Campbelltown.
Yeah.
Campbelltown. And I went, yeah, surely this is, mate, just you got to stick with the trend.
Yeah. This is one of these ones I changed at the last minute sitting at the pub because I saw Adam Reynolds was going to play. And he did a fair bit to get him over the line, truth be told. So, look, you cannot knock what the Tigers did. And everyone can point to who the Broncos had out. But the Broncos still put a fairly decent side on the park. So they've got a fair bit of depth, right? So it was a case of looking at what they had, not what got left out. So look, they played really well, but the Tigers fans cannot be upset or disappointed. How good was it to see a virtually full Campbelltown Stadium for another week for the Tigers? They must be wrapped not only commercially with the dollars coming in the door, but the support on game day when they run out to see a full stadium, no matter where they play at the moment. So, look, they'll learn heaps from that. There's no doubt about it. Obviously, they're starting to build a fair bit of experience, but you've got those young backs that, you know, wouldn't have been in these type of games before. So, yeah, Tigers fans just hang in there because, they're going very impressively. And the Broncos, to grab that win when they probably, you know, shouldn't have with those injuries, will help them greatly, mate, over Origin and the back end of the season. Those 2 points will be like gold.
Absolutely. I think they're on the rise too, and it just shows just how connected that Major's got them there. Tigers, it's probably a little bit of an unfair comparison because the Dogs weren't really in the contest from about half time. They had brief moments, but the Tigers fans certainly created more noise and energy the week before. They had greater numbers as well. So they are certainly a fan base that are on the up, and as you said, no matter where they go, they are making a noise. So good on them.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Roosters, Knights. Roosters seem to be one of those teams I can never pick. And at one point here, when the Knights were on a surge, I was like, oh god, I've missed them again. Thankfully, sanity prevailed. The Roosters seem to be finding a little bit of cohesion.
Mm. Yeah, 2 weeks in a row now, the Roosters have let the opposition head out to a lead with Cronulla last week over in WA, and they've started to come back and win. And, you know, I sat back and really watched this game pretty hard, and the halves seem to really start to be getting something together. So Walker and DCE really seem to be clicking, and that's only going to continue to get better. You can even just see it in games where, you know, they're just getting better towards the back end of each game. So I think fully fit, the Roosters, we called it before last week's game against the Knights, but I think they're going to go on a bit of a run. So between now and Origin, I don't see them dropping too many games. I think they're pretty fit at the moment. Marky Mark looked very strong out there on the wing, picked up a couple late, which certainly helped the tab account. But I can see them doing quite well over the next month or two of footy, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I did enjoy Fletcher Hunt's tackle on Marky Mark, though. he's an impressive young player, isn't he?
He's a really good footballer. I was only talking to the old man about him today. I don't know where he fits in fully fit side. I think Sandon Smith has really done well steering this team around. It's almost his team, believe it or not, when he's got two or three superstars and a lot of money outside of him. I'd find it hard to say that they're going to drop him and play Sharp at seven. So I don't know where he fits when Ponga comes back. So it'll be interesting to see what he does with that side. I think they've plenty of ability in that side, and he's got them playing, I wouldn't say old school Knights footy, but he's certainly heading back in that direction. So, you know, the Newcastle fans will enjoy seeing the team with a bit of local identity again, playing the way that staying to head and try to play the way that Newcastle play their footy, mate. So, look, hats off to the Knights. The Roosters, if they get it together to start games and finish off the way they have been, there could be some points coming for the Roosters.
Yeah, and Teddy just seems to keep getting better. I noticed another call from him to be in an Origin at 33. I still think he's probably time's passed him by, and they'll go with someone younger. But couldn't go wrong with having him there. He is a rich vein of form. Unbelievable, really, given how many other players seem to start to fade once they hit the wrong side of 30. Amazing.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal, mate. I think he wouldn't be out of place, but I'm with you, mate. I think they'll stick solid with the Penrith combination, and unless there's an injury and they've got to come in for a decider, they don't want to throw a rookie, they go to him. I think it'll stay as it is, bud.
Yep. Now, we had serious conversations about not going on Sunday. I mean, I was always going to go, but the rest of the fam were like, you know, we're going to go. I'm like, yeah, you just got to keep showing up. And it was a pretty somber old drive out there, I'm going to be honest. And we just said, you know, we've got to watch how the young guys go and just have a bit of a laugh at them, like we had done in the previous game that we end up winning as well. So maybe that's a good attitude to take into it. don't expect much, and you can't be disappointed. Regardless of the result, it was just good to see them do what they hadn't done the previous week, which was have a real crack and get physical. They defended very well. Strangely, we were putting plenty of shit on De Bellin earlier in the year, and he had been a bit pedestrian, but he started in the middle. He made good meters. It was easily his best game in blue and gold. He defended well in the middle. He didn't play long minutes, but didn't need to. And then just the enthusiasm across the park, it was really quite good to see. Clearly, the Dogs were flat. There was a couple of moments we talked about momentum swings. There was a couple of times where we gave them cheap ball, particularly start of the second half, and they just couldn't. They couldn't complete. They couldn't execute. Had a few knock-ons in the first half when they were in good ball, and they just overall looked like they were a bit flat and clunky, which we talked about it before off the back of playing the Panthers. You even said it last week. It'll be interesting to see how they go, and that did give me a little bit of hope, and that proved to be true.
Yeah, mate, look, you've summed it up. You're out there, obviously, and summed it up well. How was the crowd, mate, towards the back end? I know you said there was a bit of Bulldog-Eel sort of rivalry there, but they were pretty happy and pretty chuffed. As surprised as you, I suppose.
They were, mate. It's funny, when you see your team fighting like that, it's amazing how much more the crowd gets into it. Yeah. It's even, I think Roel said in the press conference, he goes, I saw something in that Tigers game which I hadn't seen the previous 18 months, some real fight, and given how many we've got out injured at the moment, it just makes this last Sunday's performance even better, because there was a bit of mongrel. There was a couple of times in the back end of the second half where you could tell that they were fading and that they were really gasping for big breaths, and they just hung in there. Again, helped that the Bulldogs just didn't get much going. So it just again shows, if you bring the right effort and intensity, you're a big chance. And if the other team's off slightly, like Montoya, he tackles Josh Adokar before he's got the ball. He then gets absolutely bathed on the wing for a tackle he should have made. And he was a bit of a a bit of a representation of what the rest of the team was like. Just not at their best, and get your pants pulled down.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they come out of it, mate. We weren't expecting the performance last week, Crichton out, etc., but they certainly turned one on. So it'll be interesting to see what they do now, whether they back up, whether that was just a one-off against an Eels coming on the back of the Panthers game, or whether there's a little bit more to it without Crichton and a few others. So it doesn't get any easier this week. I know we'll get to it soon, but they've got the Broncos up here in Brisbane, and the Broncos will be ready to turn it on. So, it'll be interesting to see how the Bulldogs come through on the back of two, pretty big games.
Yeah, absolutely. It will be interesting to see if Parra can keep up that intensity. So far, they just have not. They've been one in, one out. All right, let's look at next week. Tigers, Raiders. Give us your thoughts. Just want to look up where this one is being played, given the Tigers have 18 different.
They got a few. I'm on the Raiders. And I'll tell you why. Just seen a couple of things in the Raiders these last couple of weeks with the Fords. Don't want to discourage any of the Tigers fans and cop it on social media from the listeners, but I just think the Raiders just got that little bit extra in the forward pack. So the Tigers aren't going to give it to them. They're going to be certainly up for it, but the Tigers have just had a couple of, they've been on a bit of a run at the moment, even just emotionally. So that last weekend's loss just being so close would have knocked them around a little bit as well. So, yeah, I've got the Raiders, but that could see another Tigers victory on that one. How do you see it, mate?
Mate, the Raiders, I've struggled to tip all year, so I think I'll probably lean towards the Tigers. It's at Leichhardt. Interestingly, they haven't got a fantastic record of late there, but they always get a full house. It'll be a Thursday night. That'll be a good atmosphere out there as well. I reckon there'll be a few neutrals heading out because that'll be a good night out. Mate, it's a toss of a coin for me. I just been burnt too many times by the Raiders, and the Storm aren't travelling well. And even though the Raiders at time looked like they could have blown them away, they just didn't. And I just think the Tigers have got too much going for them at the moment, even though they had a bit of a setback at last weekend. The fact that they weren't at their best and still nearly win the game shows just how far they've come. So that's where I'm sticking, mate. And don't back down, mate. Like, you just got to cop whatever comes on social media. Call it how it is and just take the...
I'm on the Raiders, mate, for that one. We'll see how it goes. This next one will be interesting, but, mate, Cowboys Sharks. I think if it was in Sydney, I'd have everything I could on the Sharks, but just don't know how the Cowboys are going to go. That was a pretty, pretty decisive loss up there at home against Manly last week. And obviously the Sharks are coming off a game in Perth and then the bye. So they've done some travelling, Perth back to Sydney, Sydney back up to Townsville. So there's been a bit of travel there. But I just think the Sharks, they just start to show a little bit. I know they lost to the Roosters over in Perth, but they were just getting on a little bit of a roll before the bye. So I've got the Sharks, but expected to see a little bit of a fight back from the Cows for mine, mate.
Yeah, and I guess it shows a little bit of the separation. We're seeing some of the cream rise to the top, and we really got excited about the Cowboys win over the Storm. But again, we were basing that off what we thought the Storm were, but it turns out they're not going so good. So, you'd expect the Sharks to be too good after a good rest in this one. The only danger is if it's a warm one, the Cowboys getting a bit of a roll early, and because sometimes after the bye, it can take teams a while to get going in the first half. So if they can get on a bit of a roll and blow them out of the water, then you can't see the Sharks getting back in it. But if they can hang in there in the first half, you would expect the Sharks to come home too strong for the Cows, given recent form.
Spot on, mate. Spot on.
Bronx Doggies. Which dogs will turn up? I just think, given what the Broncos continue to show, at home, can't go wrong. Like, you just got to keep backing them, don't you?
Yeah, you do, mate. Yeah, Broncos for mine. There's a little bit of word that Walsh may come back. So we'll see. While we're recording this, it'll be Tuesday. It'll drop tomorrow. So we'll wait and see what that happens. But, yeah, even without Payne Haas that we've just spoken about, I just think the Broncos found a way to win without a few of their stars last week. And I think back home in front of their crowd, you'd suspect if it's not a full house, it'll be very close for the Anzac Day ceremonies the night before. So, yeah, it should be an absolute cracker. But, yeah, Broncos for mine, reasonably comfortable.
Ooh, reasonably comfortable. The Bulldogs just
not a blowout, but yeah, reasonably comfortable for mine, mate.
Okay, interesting. I think it might be a bit closer, but we will see. The Dogs can't play that badly again, or maybe they weren't that bad. Maybe they just got beaten by a red hot team.
Oh no! Have we jumped into fantasy land? Have we?
Oh, we have, mate. I'm joking. Totally joking. Warriors Dolphins. This should be a belter. Two teams on the up. The Dolphins seem to be getting better every week. The Warriors have been pretty consistent.
Yep.
How will they
travel? Yeah, look, for mine, mate, Warriors, it'll be a monster day for them. Obviously, Anzac Day, it's on the day. It's on Saturday. So the Kiwis contingent will be out in force. It'll be their second home game in a row after last week. And, you know, we've spoken about it almost every week. The Dolphins are coming off the Panthers. So in a hot, humid game up there in Darwin, mate. So I got the Warriors. The Dolphins will certainly keep trying. You know, Herbie will be there leading the way again. But, yeah, for mine, I think the emotion of everything going on for the day, second week at home in a row, the Warriors will be too strong for the Dolphins for me, mate.
Yep. Now, are you in Sydney for Anzac Day, or is it the week after?
No, unfortunately not, mate. I can't make it down. I'm going to miss this year. I have been down quite consistently over the years for a schooner and watch the Dragons Roosters. It's basically the favourite game of the year for mine. There's just so much involved and such emotion from both clubs and the fan bases. But I won't be there for this one, and maybe I've picked a good year to miss, because I think regardless of what they do with the coach's box, this one could get ugly real quick if the Dragons aren't careful or the ref doesn't give us a helping hand, mate, along the way.
Yeah. Well, anything's possible in Anzac Day. It does seem to be a real leveller. But you just think this, no matter who they put in there, because it's not like – it's not like with the Seagulls, who have got some pretty handy players. They just needed an attitude shift. You just don't see it for the Dragons. But funnier things have happened.
I would want to be funny.
Roosters in the canter. The Warriors should be too good. Storm Rabbitohs. Yep. we say it every week. They can't lose again, can they?
Nah, well, I've got the Storm. I've got the Storm in here. I think the Rabbitohs have been on a bit of a run. You know, we haven't seen, including Penrith, a team be able to, you know, consistently hold it together for long. Eventually it comes off. And the Storm really do turn it on for Anzac Day down there. They usually have a big one. It's traditionally against the Warriors, but they've changed it this year. So, yeah, for mine, I think the Storm will come back and do a number. Surely there's four defensive players on Latrell at all times after what he just did to the Dragons. And if they can slow that left edge down, I think the Storm might just have a little bit too much for him. But imagine if they lose another one. That will be absolutely massive news.
Absolutely. And I said before, I have to stick with the records that are going on. Bennett hasn't beaten Craig Bellamy since 2016, and the overall record is 33-10. In favour of bellyache. Yeah.
Mate, you've come with the stats today. 33-10, I love it. So I love it. I got Bellamy in that one.
Yep, load up on the Storm. I hope they just keep getting beaten, mate. I just love it.
Yeah. Anyway, it is good. You wouldn't think that... Yeah, the Tigers are on, coming second or third, and the Storm are coming second last. So... it's just good for the fan bases, mate. So let's see what happens.
Yep. The early game on Sunday, this should be a good one, but you'd imagine the Panthers will be too good. But that'll be a great afternoon up there at Newcastle Stadium with their team performing now. They've got a level of consistency. They are playing like a young team that can light it up but struggle to be consistent and have some off weeks. If they're on, and those the players we mentioned earlier, the Fletchers, Brown was back, so he'll be better after another run. Sanders Smith just keeps getting better, and their young forward pack have a real crack. You won't imagine they'll win, but it could be a good contest.
Yeah, you're right, mate. Look, it's going to take Knights everything they've got, and then Penrith, you know, no Mitch Kenny, and then obviously coming off the hot Darwin game, they'll certainly have felt the pinch. Sitting in a bus from Penrith to Newcastle won't be much fun either. But, yeah, at the end of the day, I think Penrith have just shown a little bit too much. So I'll be on the Panthers. But stranger things have happened with Marathon Stadium, mate. They'll be doing everything they can, and the crowd will be doing everything they can to put pressure on the referee the whole 80 minutes, mate. So an upset won't shock, but I'll be on the Panthers.
Yep. Freddie Lussick, is it, comes in for Mitch Kenny. He actually, was it the Panthers game when Kenny had a one match suspension? He was better than handy that game, so they obviously miss a fair bit there with Kenny not there, but Lussick, he's no mug, and he should go all right too. Match of the round. Here we go again. The Manly and Para belter. Hopefully, we actually get a cracker down there. And it'd be nice not to have to trudge out of there with Manly fans throwing empty cans at us as we leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, should be a good one.
Yeah, it will be, mate. I've probably got, believe it or not, I'm going to lob on Manly, mate, which some of the listeners will be happy about. Just on the back of Parra, just haven't shown the consistency. I think Parra's got more in them. And if they can turn it on and turn up and have a crack, I think Parra will win. But for mine, they haven't shown that week in, week out yet. And that's obviously what Riles needs. So if he can get them there, the Eels will win. But if he can't quite get them up, I think that, again, another stadium will be full. I think they're going to pack out every stadium this week, which I really hope they do. It'll be big for the return soldiers, but not only that, obviously for the TV spectacle as well, right? So, yeah, I got Manly, but who knows who gets off the bus in either of these games are going to win the game.
Yeah, hopefully the foreign bubble bursts. Parra can put back to back, but it is a genuine toss of the coin, that one, just depending on who turns up. One thing I didn't mention when we were reviewing the Eels Dogs game, young fella making his debut for Parra, Saxon Pryke, he looks like a footy player. There was one point he ran this line off Walker, and Walker didn't give him, and he just ran back in behind the ruck, and he would have just been straight through the line untouched, and he even threw his head to his hands, like, so, you know, he's obviously got a bit of confidence about him because he could show that disappointment. But he defended well, he was solid with the ball, but you could just tell that he's got a bit of football about him, and I'm really excited about where he can go after a dozen games under his belt, because he looks like he could be a good one for the future.
Yeah, spot on, mate. We spoke about Parra trying to get their junior pathways in order. They've always been one of the stronger Sydney clubs in those junior teams, and it looks like they've got a few good ones coming through. You know, we've already seen three or four of them this year. We saw a couple last year as well. So, positive signs for Parra going forward, no doubt.
Yep. All right, power rankings. So what's Gags got this week? Last week he had Panthers, Warriors, Tigers, Roosters, Manly. He's got the Panthers.
No, that was last week. Top.
Oh, that was last week. Back to front. This last week, Penrith, Tigers, Warriors, Cowboys, Bulldogs. Penrith keep their spot. Tigers stay at third. Warriors move up one to two. Roosters with a bullet. And Manly in at five in the power rankings. Had to be there, didn't they?
Yeah. The listeners will love giving you a bit of shit over that, Hawk. But I caught up with Gagan.
I'm not the one who picked him for the wooden spoon. Let's just remind the listeners that.
No, that's actually a good point. Well, I picked Seabowl for the wooden spoon. I won. Don't worry about that. I caught up with Gagan today. He's hoping to be back out in the field in the next week or so himself. But, yeah, he couldn't leave Manly out. Three in a row, not only the result, but the way they're playing. So he admits they got it up against them without Turbo for the next 6 to 8, but have done well. And he really liked the Roosters. So they've had two really good wins. So he's been pretty impressed with them. So, mate, look, truth be told, I can't really knock the five. I think they're starting to see a little bit of consistency with who he's got in there. There's a few more games under their belt. And the Cowboys and the Bulldogs who dropped out, I think the fans would agree that they both had pretty disappointing losses to games that they either should have won or shown a little bit more to it. So, yeah, I think Agan has got it pretty bloody close again.
Yep. Interestingly, just looking at the table, the Roosters have not looked fantastic at all, and yet they're 2 points off the top and starting to come good. So,
yeah, they're coming, mate.
Yeah, they're coming. They absolutely are.
They're coming. I'm not saying they're going to win the comp, but they're coming.
Yeah. The table is starting to look very interesting. It's still like only a couple of wins separates 2nd and 14th. But who would have thought that you got that bottom five has the Raiders and the Storm in there?
Mm. Yeah, quite shocking. And to your point earlier, mate, we've said it too many times probably, but it's bloody awesome for the supporters. You know, there's a few clubs there that have done it tough over the last few years, and look, they might start to struggle at any start of the season, but just showing the effort that they have, the Knights, the Tigers as examples, mainly over the last few weeks, your own Eels have had some good performances. It just gives you a good feeling, mate. Even win, lose or draw, they're putting up a fight and they're having a dig for their club. So good news.
Mm. Yep. Well, hopefully your mob can find something this week with a new coach, whoever that may end up being. Some listener questions. Conditions in Darwin were oppressive. Do you think this will give the PNG Chiefs a huge advantage with the end of the competition? Oh, absolutely. They'll definitely have some upsets when they're playing at home. you are a little concerned for when they have to travel onto the island, though. So
yeah,
it will be interesting to
see. Yeah, I'm with you, mate. It's a bloody good question on the back of what happened with Penrith. I think teams are going to go up there and going to be shocked. You know, obviously they'll have water breaks, et cetera, et cetera. I think the big advantage for them, and they're obviously a lot smarter than you and I, but I think the big advantage for them will be recruitment from day one. They can go and recruit players that are going to be able to handle those conditions better. You know, they're not going to go and recruit guys that are going to struggle in the heat. So I think if they're smart enough to do that from day one, obviously they'll be doing as best they can to get as many locals in the side and develop the country and their pipeline. But they're going to have to recruit virtually the whole lot from Australia from the get-go. So if they can recruit the right way and really make that a bit of a fortress, which obviously the fans will help, they're going to have a huge upside and a huge advantage for mine. Obviously, to your point, they've got to travel, but yeah, the heat's going to play a part for them. It's going to be very interesting to see how that unfolds.
Yeah, it is. I heard a story the other week saying that there's plenty of players who are holding off just to see what they will be offered up there. So that this journalist was pretty confident they'll have a particularly strong team. So it will be very interesting to see how all that unfolds. Mm. It does bring concerns for the Bears who had a bit of a flurry of signings but haven't really had much noise from them recently. Well, no positive noise.
No.
Interesting. Just a little aside, speaking of the West, I checked out some Zach Lomax highlights this morning. Did some good things. And, I mean, I don't actually begrudge him success. So it was more, as a Para fan, it was more, I think it was more annoyance at the league not backing the club in that instance. But he scored a good try, which... he didn't have to do too much, but he did have some really good moments. He had a nice touch in a pretty slick movement down the left-hand side for one of their tries. He caught a couple of balls from kicks, and looks like he will offer a fair bit in the game.
Mm. Good footballer, mate. So yeah, I hope he learns what a contract is for his own sake sooner or later. But good luck to him, mate. If he gets a gig with the Wallabies, hope he does well. It's World Cup coming up and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I don't think I'll lay eyes on him until he makes a World Cup side. That's the only time you get me watching rugby union, mate. But yeah, no surprises. He's doing well, mate. He's certainly an athlete, right?
Ah, he is. Another listener question. Will Manly's turn around come to a stop now Turbo has gone down? Oh, I fucking hope so. I don't know if that will be the case, because they have shown a bit, but it's one thing to keep up momentum when he goes down during the game, but to have to prepare without him, he's a bit of a talisman for them. It will be interesting to see how they respond.
I think you just hit the nail on the head, mate. When it happens, Manly, you know, as awful as it sounds, some of the Manly players, you know, it wouldn't have been a shock to them to see the seam go down, right? I think that's his eighth hamstring injury, the poor bugger, and he's just, it's not a surprise, unfortunately, for the players to see him go down. So they would have just slid straight into the the backup plan, right? Plan B. But to have a whole week knowing Turbo's not there, this will be an interesting game, because it's a very achievable win for both sides, Para and Manly. So this will be an interesting one. But yeah, for mine, I think, you know, we mentioned at the start of the season, if he was to go down, he'd be the key player for Manly's chances. So I think long term, while they might get a game here or there, I think that, the fairy tale might have started to slow down for Foreign. But we'll see this week.
They keep proving us wrong, so nothing will surprise. How big a loss would Mitch Kenny be to the Panthers? Well, we touched on this already. Freddie Lussick is not Mitch Kenny, but he's a handy replacement. He did some good stuff when he was at the Warriors, and in that Melbourne game, he certainly didn't look out of place. I think they'll barely skip a beat. But they probably miss him defensively, because he's not just making a lot of tackles. His quality of tackle and the influence he has in and around the ruck, that may be the place in a tighter game where they get really tested.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it'll be a bit of a loss for them. I think not only the defense, he controls that middle. I think it'll mean Yeo spends a little bit more time on the field. The plan was to try and rest Yeo throughout the season to get him through to semi-final football. I think this will mean he plays a bit more minutes. And as awful as it sounds, Lussick attacks more. So there's a few times I saw on last weekend's game where Lussick, you know, ran the ball, and it probably wasn't the best option at the time. So it'll be interesting to see, just making sure that he does attack from dummy half but chooses his times right. So, look, they're not going to, you know, lose games because Lussick's in over Kenny. But it'll just be interesting to see what sort of impact it has on the broader team, mate. Yeo, especially with his minutes.
Yep. Mate, that's why we love the sport, because it throws up so many unpredictabilities. But the bit I love is the predictability of knowing that pretty much any game, any round, any team can win. And to that end, the salary cap is having a desired effect. And, we seem to be lots can happen in a week, as we said at the top of the show.
Yeah, true, mate. Like, you talk about Gagan's power rankings. Who would have thought 3 weeks ago that Manly would be in them? And we'd all say, yeah, okay, I can see that. You know what I mean? So it is unpredictable. Who knows what we'll be talking about next week? We certainly wouldn't have guessed half the things that have happened over the last 7 to 14 days. So we'll see what this week brings. Some absolute cracking matches, and to have the Anzac Day ceremonies, involved with them as well. Can't wait to see massive crowds and some exciting rugby league.
Absolutely. I haven't been to the Anzac round for a while, so I'm looking forward to getting out there on Sunday with the bookie faithful and having an enjoyable day in the sun.
Good luck to you, buddy. I hope you get the win.
Thanks, mate. Have a good week. You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.